Hi, Mandy. So basically, this means that when we see these players standing together or kneeling together, so to speak, it means we should know that some of them were forced. It's not something they really support. Yeah, this kind of funny situation.
Yeah, that's the difficulty now with the authenticity of this decision. Some people are saying that they shouldn't have forced them because we know that people, some of the players don't want to do it anyway. Wayne's World saying on Twitter, can one's employer legally instruct you to do this? Can you legally refuse? Lots of questions coming out about this mandate, which it essentially is. And if you missed it earlier, the Cricket South Africa board unanimously agreeing to issue a directive requiring all Proteas players to adopt a consistent and united stance against racism by taking the knee. Also, an announcement today that Quinton de Kock has made himself unavailable for the rest of the T20 World Cup for personal reasons. So let's speak now to Stuart Hess, who's a cricket writer for The Star. Stuart, good afternoon to you. Thanks for your time. If anyone's interested, 89 for two. We've just picked up a second wicket, but of course we're not talking about the cricket again, are we?
Never, never. I can't come on the show and talk about cricket. It's impossible.
So, look, did this announcement today by Cricket South Africa take the cricket hacks by surprise, or what is the general consensus around this now?
Look, Cricket South Africa, even during the period of the interim board, which was chaired by Dr. Stavros, had mentioned that they were disappointed with the Proteas and men's side for not taking a knee back when England toured here in November, I think, of last year. And but they've also then, as the transition has happened with from interim board into the board that is chaired now by Lawson Nider, they've continued to leave it up to the players to make the decision. And then obviously last night following this board meeting, they've now taken the decision out of the players' hands. I think it's a dangerous precedent. You start forcing people into adopting stances, and particularly when you've taken this long. You know, see if they've just allowed this to happen with the players, and to do it in the middle of a tournament, obviously, is going to be a major, major distraction, as we've already seen in the last couple of hours.
Well, nothing like a good political interference scandal to distract us in a World Cup. I mean, that's never happened before, has it? So all of this, all of this, of course, again, playing out against the backdrop of the SJN hearings, which are currently underway, and we've seen all sorts of stuff bubbling to the top. Are they just papering over the cracks here and not dealing with the real elephant in the room, which is also Mark Boucher and the allegations against him and all of that?
Look, to just say whether how the SJN is structured is that it has allowed people, this particular portion of the SJN is now allowing people to respond to allegations that were made during the hearings in July and August. So Boucher has already put out his affidavit in response to what was said by Paul Adams. And we've seen Mohamed Musaji, who was the former team manager, speak this week. We've seen the former chairman of selectors, Linda Zondi, speak. And we've seen the former acting CEO, Jacques Fall, speak. So this was the opportunity to reply to that. Now, I don't know if Boucher has actually been, you know, had an oral engagement with Advocate Mfebeza and the rest of the SJN assistants. I know that in the case of Kaya Zondo, for instance, his oral submission was recorded, and then it was released later on. So I don't know if that has happened in Boucher's case. All we know is there's a written affidavit that was submitted. It was made public. Boucher was the only person to do that, and that's where we stand as far as Mark is concerned.
Very quickly, in less than a minute, this issue of Quinton de Kock, he's made himself unavailable for personal reasons. People drawing the inference that it is linked to the statement, but we just don't know, right?
We've just published a report. I've got a colleague who's actually reporting on the World Cup in Dubai, who's just written up a report on IOL to say that actually it was because of the directive issued by Cricket South Africa's board. There'll be more to come on this, obviously. I mean, at some point, Thabo Mbeki will speak after the match, and I don't know if Quinton will have anything to say, but our reporting that we've gotten out of Dubai is that the reason that he is not playing today is because he did not agree with the directive from CSA's board.
Well, that's massive. So breaking news, Stuart. Thank you very much for bringing us that, and thanks for your analysis, as always. Stuart Hess, cricket writer for The Star, speaking to us there about that. So as you say, Quinton de Kock saying that he's made himself unavailable because of that directive. He plays a lot of cricket in the IPL. I wonder how that's going to land in India. And I think this one is going to draw a lot of attention. I think it's going to affect a lot of people's feelings about cricket South Africa, about the Proteas. And let's just remember that they are playing cricket. The score is 89 for 3. We just got another wicket. So let's hope the Proteas actually win and don't get too distracted by all of this.